Book of Ruth, chapter number one. Book of Ruth, chapter number one. We're going to continue in our study of the book of Ruth. And we're going to close out through chapter number one tonight and try to move ahead just a little bit. I enjoyed last week. We covered the first five verses, and tonight we're going to cover verse number six through the end of the chapter, verse number 22. Ruth chapter number 1. And due to the reading of the word tonight, I'll not ask you to stand, but I ask you to reverence the word of God. I'll not ask you to stand tonight due to the length, but please pay attention tonight. Say amen when you found your place. Amen. Look with us tonight in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people, and giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-laws, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they are grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." I want you to do something real quickly. I don't normally do this, but I feel led of the Lord tonight. I want you to do something in verse number 13 where it says, "Grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." I want you to take a pencil or a highlighter, and I want you to catch that phrase tonight. I want you to catch that phrase, and I want you to grasp the gravity of what he's trying to say, or what Ruth is trying to say, as we believe that Samuel possibly wrote this book. But I want you to just get a hold of that tonight, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. In verse number 14, it says, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back into her people. And unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried, the Lord do so to me. And more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. Now I want you to take that pencil again, and I want you to catch the phrase, that were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Let's pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for this scripture, and Lord, what you've laid on our heart. Lord, I thank you for Brother Worth and the mission work, Lord, that you've burdened him with. And God, I pray that we might be just a little encouragement along the way, Lord, that we could just help some lost soul get saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray for this service tonight. You know the need of your children, and God, you know the needs of the hearts that's represented, and Lord, you know the needs of families tonight in a great way. God, I pray that you'd be in the very midst of this service, Lord, that you give us encouragement. God, if there's one lost, I pray they'd be saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, there may be one here that knew you, and Lord, that's been saved, but yet, God, they've walked afar off. Lord, I pray for Holy Ghost conviction. Lord, that you draw that saint nigh, Lord, to a place of repentance. And God, that they'd trust in you, and Lord, they'd believe in you, and Lord, they'd serve you with all their heart. God, I pray tonight you'd move in the very midst of this service. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. I want you to notice tonight, as we've looked in Ruth chapter number 1 tonight, and you pray for us as the Lord's led us here tonight. And I couldn't help but last week, as we came into this scripture and the Lord began to deal on our hearts, to look back through the first 5 verses. There was a lot that happened in verse number 1 through verse number 5. We see a family that was living in Bethlehem. And remembering tonight what Bethlehem means, it simply means the house of bread. And we see a man and his family gathered there. And I've read after different pastors and after different men of God. And I feel comfortable with what God laid on my heart last week. But as we look at Elimelech, his name means my God, my King. And we see Elimelech during this moment in time of despair and a time of famine, living there in the place known as the house of bread, see his family pack up and move to a land called Moab. And they spent 10 years in the land of Moab. They were hoping for a better life. What I find interesting tonight, and I'm not going back trying to preach anything or give you a little more, but I just want to help you tonight. As they moved down to the land of Moab, they began to live there, and the sons grew up. And what I find interesting tonight about this scripture in chapter 1, verses 1 through number 5, I find interesting that these young men grew up and they married these women from a different land, these strange women, might we say tonight, from a different land. And Brother Robbie, that tells me that these young men was old enough to be the head of the household. And what I found interesting as I was going back and restudying and relooking at this scripture, I find this interesting of the pull of sin on that family. The sons could have decided at any moment in time that we're going back to the church house. We're going back to the house of bread. We're going back to where the Messiah is to be born. But the pull of sin and the way of life had got into them so much, Brother Odin, that they decided to just stay right there with mom and dad. Can I say this to you tonight? I'm trying to help you and trying to give you exactly what Scripture would have us to say. But I look in verses 1, number 1 through verse number 5, and I see the parents' decision affecting the children. It affected them to the place that they seen mom and dad being comfortable there in Moab. They were strangers in this land. And just let me help you tonight, as we read about the daughter-in-laws, as Ruth or as Naomi had told Ruth and Orpah that they should turn and go back to Moab and serve the gods there. That was a wicked land that they were living in. And might I say to you tonight, I believe you'd agree with me that there's times in this place that we find out that the outside world is a wicked world. I believe you'd have to agree tonight. I cannot illustrate that enough, and I can't drive that point home far enough. But tonight, outside these doors, is a wicked, vile, sin-filled, sin-cursed world that we're living in. And might I say to you tonight, I'm just a pilgrim in a strange land. And I'm telling you this tonight, I'm not setting my roots too deep. I'm not driving my stakes in so deep that I plan on being here, hey, because my land is on the other side of the stars. And might I say to you tonight, we're gathered here in the place of worship, and this is the place that we've set aside to worship God tonight. And I'm going to say this to you tonight. It ain't always good at Rhonda Tabernacle. Y'all all right? It ain't always shouting weather at Rhonda Tabernacle. It ain't always good weather at Rhonda Tabernacle. It ain't. I told y'all last week, I chuck up the bat and I'm swinging for the fences every time I get up. And the majority of the time I foul tip it down the first baseline. And part of the time I foul tip it backwards. But let me say this. I like it every now and then when God moves in. Hey, and we can connect on a few things. The people can connect on a few things. We're swinging for the fences and we finally make contact. But might I say to you tonight, I've seen people get out of church because they got a little dry. I've seen people get out of church because they say, well, preacher, I just wasn't getting fed down there. And I just wasn't getting what I needed. And preacher, I just wasn't getting the things that I thought I needed. Might I say to you tonight, hey, God knows exactly what you need. And God knows what you stand in need of. And might I say to you tonight, I might just be preaching to my household tonight, but that's all right. Hey, God knows my household needs some food every now and then too. But might I say to you, that's not always roses in the church house. But let me say this to you tonight. It ain't time to pack up and leave. And it ain't time to look for fair land. And it ain't time to pack everything up and say we're going to try something new. Let me say this to you tonight. If you begin to go contemporary just a little bit, you go the whole way. Y'all all right? Y'all hang with me just a minute. If you start giving on your, just going away from the King James Bible just a little bit, before long you've lost the whole battle and you've invited the whole filth in. You let one or two songs go, you just well go ahead and let them all go. And might I say to you tonight, a little sin or a little leaven, hey, leaveneth the whole lump. Because I'm going to say this, once you go liberal, you can't go back. You say, preacher, yes, we can. Absolutely. No, you can't. You see, it's going to cost you some things. And you see down here in the land of Moab, here they was, Brother Gwen, and Elimelech had seen something better afar off. Scripture says they spent 10 years there. We find in those 10 years that Brother Johnny Elimelech, he passes away. Not only does Elimelech pass away, but his two sons pass away. I don't know about you, but I believe it grieved Naomi's heart to see not only have to say goodbye to her husband and have to bury him in a foreign land, but yet here she is left alone and her two sons that she held dear have both passed away. Might I say, I want to say this to you tonight, and I want to help you real quickly tonight because we got a lot we got to cover in this. And I'm trying to be obedient to what God has to say, and I'm trying to be respectful to you tonight. But let me say this right here, and we're going to move on. No, there's no doubt that Elimelech probably said, we'll just go down there till things get better back at home. We're just going to go down here, and we're going to keep what we got back here in Bethlehem and Judah, and we're just going to go down here for a little while and we'll come right on back when things start picking up in Egypt or in Bethlehem, and we're going to get out of Moab and we're going to go right back. Let me say this to you tonight. The hardest thing for a backslider is to come back to God. I don't know if you got a hold of that, but there's some things tonight important I want you to get a hold of. The hardest thing for a backslider is to come back to God. There's not a doubt in my mind, Brother O'Dean, that he wanted to come back in better shape than he left. And there's no doubt that he wanted his family to be in agreeance, and he wanted his children to be in agreeance, and he wanted to come back, Brother Gwen, when everything was back the way it should have been. But I want you to hear tonight. I'm trying to be careful and try to be sensitive about this. Sin will keep you a lot longer than you're wanting to stay. Now, I want you to be obedient tonight, and I want you to listen. It's going to keep you a lot longer than you want to stay. Brother O'Dean, I'm going to be honest with you. When I went to Light All, you say, preacher, you going to say Light All's a sin? It's full of wickedness. I'll tell you that right now. I ain't going to be honest or deny it. I'm going to be honest with you. I went to Light All as a stepping stone to somewhere else. That was my intentions. Probably there's no doubt in your life. You probably thought, man, I've got green fields and horizons, and I'm just going to kind of go to Tyson for a while. You probably had plans to go somewhere else. Brother Johnny, you probably started out at Chatham's, and you're just going to work there for a while till you got on your feet, and you was going to go on somewhere else, wasn't you? I mean, when you was 18-year-old, you went, yes, I'm going to work at Chatham's, was you? I don't know about you, but it wasn't never my goal to grow up and work at Light All. When I was in kindergarten, Brother O'Dean, it wasn't my job title that I wanted to work in the automotive industry at Hampton Field. I wasn't excited about that in kindergarten. I mean, I was wanting to be a fireman or a policeman or a doctor. Or anything. And we get in this phase, we say, you know what? I'm just going to work here a little while. And then I'm going to move on. And before you know it, Brother Worth, you've been there 5 years. Then you've been there 7 years. And then you've been there 10 years. I don't know, how long was you at Chatham's? You've been there 40-some years. And you had no intentions but just going there for a little while. Let me say this. There's a lot of times people say, well, we just need a Sunday off every now and then. Well, we don't, you know what? It's so pretty. It's going to be the only time that we can go on vacation and it be pretty weather. It's going to be the only time that, well, that, you know what? I really ain't missed too many Wednesday nights in a while. And it's so pretty. Well, honey, why don't we just cook us a pizza and stay home? We'll open up the Word of God. We'll read it. We'll do a devotional Bible study. Hey, we're still okay with God. Y'all all right? Well, preacher, it's so hard on Monday night. Preacher, it's Bible school. I'm telling you what, preacher, I'm dreading Bible school. It's coming up. It's going to be so hard that week. Preacher, I'm going to be pushed to get there every minute. I'm going to be pushed to get there. And then I've got to work and it's going to be hot. And all those kids, preacher, I just don't know if my nerves can handle it. You say, preacher, you're making it up, or have you really heard that? You be the judge. Let me say this to you. Not every night I come in on Wednesday nights, Paul, am I jumping up and going, I get to go to church. Not every night, Brother Odin, am I skipping and saying, it's Bible school. You know what I found out? The spirit is willing, but the flesh... Y'all right? Preacher, this is too hard on Wednesday nights. You should say this Sunday morning. No, we need to hear it here first. And then we might present it Sunday morning and get that crowd. Amen? It's not, Brother Ryan, I know you're tired tonight. And you know right where I'm at. There's times, Brother Robbie, you was there last week. You probably had every intention of being here, and everything that could go wrong went wrong. Let me help you something tonight. There's Wednesday nights where everything that could go wrong, will go wrong, has gone wrong, and continues to go wrong. I mean, I'm not jumping for glory every time Bible school comes up, but let me say this right here to you tonight. Devil will give you any type of excuse that you're looking for. I mean, he's going to throw anything at you that he possibly can. He's going to get you convinced that you just well stay home. And you know what? Let me say this. Sometimes it ain't the devil. We convince ourselves of it. But let me say this. If there's one child that gets born again in this Bible school, it is worth it. If there's one person that gets born again on a Wednesday night service, it is worth it. If there's one person that gets saved the whole year on a Sunday night service, it is worth it. We have to get ourselves out of the picture. Elimelech seen himself and his family's need. There's a lot of folks looking about me. Me. What about me? Let me say this to you tonight. It's not about me. It's about him. And our duties is to enter to worship and depart to serve. But they get looking for me and they said, you know what? It ain't going to hurt just to miss this Sunday morning. It ain't going to hurt just to miss this Sunday school. It ain't going to hurt just to miss this. And before you know it, they missed 26 out of 52. And then they come in, preacher, everything is going wrong and I just don't know what to do. Pray for me. Let me say something to you. It accumulates. You know how I know that, Brother Robbie? I've got the greatest illustration that I could give for this. Timmy, you're going to like this. 2 years ago, when I crashed the four-wheeler and was gimped up, I had a pump in the bottom of my well stop working. I'm going to say this to you. It's a sick feeling not to have water, ain't it, Miss Betty Green? Miss Betty Green will agree with me. She's been without water a time or two before. Some of you have. Brother Ryan, it's a sick feeling we ain't got water. Can't take a bath. I mean, you might have just took a bath, but knowing you can't take another bath, you start feeling icky already. And a couple of men in this church, Brother Bobby and my dad, came over and they pulled that pump. Well, I tell you this much, they lifted it up and tied it back to the back of my four-wheeler and I drug it out. It did. I drug it straight across the yard. And them going, whoa, whoa, whoa! Put that pump in. And my daddy's bad not to have knives, and I give him a knife. Identical. Notice I said identical. As far as I know, Brother Joe, there is a case peanut knife laying at the bottom of my well. It's the only thing I can figure. Either that or the dog eat it one another and it ain't come out yet. We pulled that pump, went to Lowe's, bought a new one. Fixed her up, set her back down there, Brother Ryan, had water. Everything was great. Exactly a year later, I was in the shower, water cut off. Well, it's your pressure switch. Pressure switch. Boy, put a new pressure switch on. Guess what, Brother Gwen? Got me. My wife was getting a shower. The water started getting real slow. Well, preacher, your bladder's busted in your water tank. It's the problem. Nope. We hooked the four-wheeler to it again, and out she comes. So, preacher, what'd you do? Ryan Hall told me that Lowe's was the best rent and use place you could go. He said, you rent it for a while and you take it back. We pulled that pump. There was a lot more happened on the first pump. We actually had to take it back, get another pump, come back. Pulled that pump. Went to Lowe's. They refunded money. I'd bought the warranty. And Daddy got to thinking. He said, is there any other wells nearby? And I said, well, there's two right behind the house. So we go look at those, Brother Worth. One looks like it's leaking all down in the pasture. I said, that's the problem. Nope, that wasn't the problem. Bought a new pump. Put it on. We measured the water level before we left, Brother Paul. It was gone 3 hours. It come up 60 foot while we were gone. Nothing in there, Brother Gwen. Daddy said, have you got any leaks? I said, not that I know of. I said, but there is that one toilet in our master bathroom. I have to shut the door because I hear it drip, 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 drip. Now, needless to say, before this all happened, Daddy thought it'd be great to fill up a 500-gallon drum on my well. It didn't work. We got about halfway there and it out. That's when we started realizing we had water troubles. But that toilet, Brother Ryan, of the night would drive me crazy because about every 3 minutes you'd hear drip, 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 drip. And you say, preacher, what would you do? And I'd have to get up and shut that bathroom door. It'd wake me up. And this had been going on for about a year. But would you believe that little drip, 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 run my well dry? You say, preacher, there ain't no way. He is my witness and God is my witness. You know what? I went down there. My wife had been wanting new toilets. I said, got to looking at the valve. I told them, I can't tell you what I said, but I wanted the Buster 5000. When you flushed it, it went whoosh, and it was gone. I didn't want one where he had to flush it and sit there. I wanted one and it gone. I wanted the one of the low flows like these commercials, Brother Gwen, that if you would stick your hand in there, it'd cut it off when it went by. And I asked the guy at Lowe's, I said, let me ask you something. We went back there and I said, which one would you get? And he was telling me, I said, if I take these home and set it up, my wife don't like it, can I bring it back? He said, I don't know. I ain't never been asked that. Put in new toilets. Put in a new pump in the well. And knock on wood, as of right now, I've not had any more water troubles. You said, preacher, what happened? That little bitty drip depleted the system. Just that little tiny sin That little bitty sin that nobody thinks is bothering, that nobody, it's okay, God understands, it's okay, the church, it's okay, the preacher understands how hard it is for me to do this, hard for me to do that. That little bitty drip will rip your joy and cost you more than you're wanting to pay. And Elimelech packed his family up and left the house of bread. You know what bothers me tonight? Seeing people leave the house of bread. But you know what also bothers me, Brother Robbie? It kind of excites me. But look at Naomi. I'm not going to go back all the scripture. I'm going to give you the 3 points real quick. And we're going to go on. Look at Naomi. She gets Orpah and Ruth, and she says, "You know what? I'm going back to Judah. I'm leaving." She gets on her way there. You know how I could tell she was a woman, how she was distraught? She got them pack up and leave with her, and halfway she turned around and told them to go back home. And she turns around, looks at Ruth and looks at Orpah and says, "You know what?" Says, I'm too old to get married. And if I was to get married, I'm too old to have children. And let me put it like this. I believe this is how she's saying it. I'm glad Brother Junior ain't here because I don't want to tell him he's dying again. But she said this. She said, "There ain't no way you could wait on them children to get old enough to marry. You'd be dead before it ever happened." Now I'm paraphrasing that for y'all. And she said, "Go back to Moab. Go back and serve your gods. God be with you. Go back to your house." Orpah wept. She kissed Naomi. She said, "See you later." Ruth looked at Naomi and says, "I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to lodge where you lodge. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to make your God my God. I'm going to make your people my people. And where you die is where I'm going to die." Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't never seen a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law get along that good. And I believe Naomi stood there. You know how I could tell she was a woman? And there's a reason I had you to underline that word. The hand of God has gone out against her. Because I want you to notice something right here. God's hand wasn't on her. God's hand wasn't with her. It was against her. And let me say this to you tonight real clear. If you're not serving God fully, 110% sold out to God, you are not with God. God is not on you, but God is against you. Y'all clear? Y'all good? That's pretty deep right there. She said the hand of God, the Almighty, has went out against her, chastising her. You know what? That gives me some encouragement tonight. Because I'm going to be honest with you. When we get out of the will of God, it's God's all right to give us chastisement. I gotta be careful or not. But this is biblical. If God's chastisement's not on you, you're not sons, you're bastards. That's biblical. And what that means you're illegitimate. You're not His. And you know what? I don't understand this. I didn't do it to my preacher boys that are here. But my daddy did me. He said, "Son, if God's calling you to preach, see how far you can run." And Brother Worth, I took some of the awfulest beatings I ever took in my life. I'm not talking about spiritual. I'm talking about whoopings. Fights. I come in one Sunday morning, Brother Gwen, I didn't even know what time it was. My head was lumped up and I was black down to here. And then I got awful speech. I need to start living better than that. You say, "Preacher, well, you was too lovey and cuddly on him." I mean, look at Joe. You can't help but love him and cuddle on him. I mean, that poor little feller. Some of y'all thought I was being mean trying to send him with Worth. No, that's a good thing. I was trying to send him with somebody that'd help him. But I took some awful whoopings. You know what? Naomi was taking such a whooping. She knew where she needed to go, but she could not tell anybody else how to get there. heard a man talking at work today. He's come to church here a few times. Said he was talking to his sister and said she's not in good health. And I listened to about 2 minutes of the conversation. He said, well, we got talking about church, and this man don't go to church anymore. Got talking about church and living right. And he said, all I asked her was, at your dying breath, do you know where you're going to go? And I thought, man, that's kind of bad. You ain't even living right. The woman you're living with ain't your wife. And you're trying to tell somebody how to get with God, and you can't even get with God and stay with Him. That's bad. And Naomi was there. She told him to go back and sin. She told him to go back to these gods. And Ruth said, no, I'm going with you. And she said, the hand of God's against me. But I want you to notice what happened when they came in to Bethlehem. There were some people looking for them, wasn't there? Preacher, how do you know that? Well, let's look at the end of the verses there. I'm trying to hurry tonight. Bible says in verse number 19, so they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? I'm going to tell you something right now. You know what I find amazing right there in that one verse? I find enough to preach to the church on to pray for the backslidden. Pray for those who are not here. Pray for God's conviction upon them. Pray for their return. Pray for those who's fell by the wayside. Right now, I could think of about 15 people that come to church here that's on and off, hit or miss, that can't get faithful. They know they need to be faithful. They know they need to be in church, but they can't make the decision to get up and come to church. I can think of 15 right now. And this is from ages 16 to 60. Just right now, right off the top of my head. And I could call their names out and you would say, oh yeah, I forgot about them. Oh yeah, I forgot about him. Oh yeah, I forgot about her. Oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Oh yeah, I forgot about that child. Oh yeah, I forgot about that mama. Oh yeah, I forgot about that grandma. But it says the town, Brother Robbie, was moved. You know what that tells me, Dad? Somebody was looking for him. After 10 years, Brother Johnny, somebody was looking for him. I believe they sat at the gate, Brother Robbie. And I believe they looked out that road every day and they said, wonder when Elimelech's bringing his family back. They said they wouldn't be gone long. When are they going to come back? Brother Scott, I believe they looked and they said, wonder how Naomi's doing. You know, they couldn't email nobody then. They couldn't pick up a cell phone and call them, see how they was doing. They couldn't pick up a satellite phone and call South America. They couldn't do it, Brother Word. And I believe they stood there every day and they said, wonder when Elimelech's coming back. And then one day, they say, see this little widow woman. And I can't help but wonder, I believe when she left, I'm just using this for us to have a better understanding. Miss Beverly, I believe when she left, she probably was full of colors, dressed real decadent. I imagine she might have had a shirt on like Miss Eula's blouse, real flowered. And Elimelech probably was dressed like Brother Ryan with a nice collared shirt on. And now, preacher, they didn't wear them in that day. I know they didn't. I know. I'm trying to give you a visual right now. I know they didn't wear that. I don't want to imagine Brother Ryan right now having to gird his loins and run. I don't want to think about that, having to reach down and pull up the skirt or what it robe, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to think about that. But I imagine they might have been like Miss Annette, full of life. Brother Ryan, I can't help but use him. He's been my Chuck and Junior and I, him and Brother Gwen. I believe they were full of life and probably walking hand in hand. And I believe they got looking, they seen this young lady coming. And they probably seen this little old lady just barely moving, just shuffling her feet. Probably had something covering her head. And probably the whole way she said, if I can just make it back. If I can just get back. I've got family there.
if I could just get back. And Ruth was probably saying, wow, this is so pretty. I've never seen this before. Oh, would you look at this? Or would you look at that? Can you believe that? And I believe they seen her coming. They said, who's this coming? I believe she got up there to the gate. One of them said, I've seen you, but I don't know for sure who you are. I've seen you. I'm not sure. And I believe one of them says, she looks a lot like Naomi. I believe Naomi looked at him and said, don't call me that. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know where I've been. If you can't see, I left here with a family. And I've come back with nothing. I left here with a husband. And I've came back a widower. I left here with two sons. And I buried them over in Moab. All my joy's gone. All my happiness is gone. And all I could do was say, if I could get back to the house of bread. If I could just get back over there one more time. If I could just get back, I know I'd be took care of. And she said, call me Mara or Mara, however you want to say it. She said, for I'm bitter. Let me say this to you tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. Don't get out of church. That little ugly word that just seems to roll off your tongue. You don't think I know. You don't think that your wife knows or your husband knows them little cuss words that you say and you don't think nobody's... God's hearing them. And He's taking account. Remember that little drip? It ain't much. It ain't, Brother Ty, it ain't like pouring a gallon of water. It's just a little thimble drip. Brother Odin, it's just a little thimble drip. It don't take much. Hey, I got to stop right. You know what? You can backslide sitting in the house of God. There was people that was suffering in Bethlehem during the famine in the house of God, and they were doing without, and they were facing the chastisement of God, because if you go to Judges chapter 13, you'll see that the people wanted to do exactly what they wanted to do. And they'd left God completely out of it. And they were wicked people. Let me say this to you now. I told Brother Timmy back there, I said, I've got to mark my places. I said, I worked on my tablet last night and I saved it and I didn't print it. But I want to give you this tonight in Proverbs chapter number 14, verse 14. It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I can't go there tonight, but I'm going to use this real quickly as a reference. If you go over to the book of St. Luke tonight, chapter number 15 and verse number 11, you'll read of a man that had two sons. One wanted his inheritance. The other one was going to stay on the farm and work. Everybody knows the story, the prodigal son. You've heard me preach it. I've preached it and preached it and preached it. You've heard other preachers preach it. How the father stood there looking for that son to come home. How that son had got down to the place that he could eat the husk that the swine did eat. And it was all because of bad decisions. Poor decisions. And it started out just a little drip. Brother Ryan, a leaking toilet cost me a whole lot. I learned, Brother Kenny, I learned some valuable information that day. My wife, Brother, when I was picking about the shock and strut coming through the front fender, that happened to the preacher. I don't know if you've ever been riding on an incline where there's ruts, and you're on a Polaris 700 with 28-inch tires, and one of them folds up under it and a strut. It's pretty scary. I'm going to be honest with you. And you know what my wife had said? She said, you know, it's been 2 years since you wrecked. Please don't get hurt. And all I could think was, don't go over the handlebars. Don't go over the handlebars. Don't go over the handlebars. Stay seated. And I did. And these lovely men helped me limp it back to the house. And you know, I decided to do some work on it from there forward. I decided to put the new spacers on it, redo that. I decided to go ahead and do the bushings. I decided to go ahead and do the bearings. You know, my truck's coming up on a 50,000-mile service, and I've got to get some services done to it. Daddy told me something the other day. He said, do you really have to have all that done? And I kind of learned something after studying Ruth and with the full instance. It's cheaper to go ahead and do preventive maintenance. To go ahead and prevent some issues later on down the road. You know what? Those tie them wheel bearings have been in there since 2002. That's how old it is. Since 2002. And somebody said, well, preacher, if it ain't giving no trouble, don't mess with it. Let me help you right there. I don't want another wheel to fall off. I'm going to be honest with you. That I'm too big. I'm too fat. And I don't want to see Troy Barron try to carry me out of the woods. I don't want to see that. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, it may have cost me, Brother Don, $200 right now to put those new bearings in. To put them new bushings on. To put all that in. Put it back together. My wife said, are you ever going to get done with it? Why are you doing that? Why are you? You know what? I'd rather go ahead and pay a little bit now than have to pay a whole lot later. You know what? It don't hurt in our lives to do a little checkup now. Do a little preventive maintenance now before it really costs us on down the road. See, right now, this bothers me on Wednesday nights, but I've got to. Right now, it may just be a little sin. Maybe something small. Maybe something that nobody would think about it. It just might be a little bitty sin. You might be saying an ugly word. You might be looking at something wrong. You might be looking at a woman wrong or a man wrong. Or it might be just simple enough you ain't being faithful to your faith promise or you're not being faithful to your tithe. It might be something small. It might be our favorite saying, I'll do it tomorrow. How many times have you said, I'm going to read my Bible through? I'm going to read my Bible through. And you know when you're going to read your Bible through? Tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it the next day. January this year, preacher, I'm going to read my Bible through. And you know what that little sin does? It starts accumulating. And if we don't prevent the little stuff, it's really going to cost us later on. We just don't know it yet. Our issue is we're living for today and not for tomorrow. Well, preacher, who knows if we'll be here tomorrow? Preacher, Lord might call me home tonight. You're exactly right. Wouldn't you like to know there was one more crown you could have laid at his feet? Wouldn't you like to know that there'd been one more jewel on that crown if you'd went ahead and done it today? Wouldn't you like to know there'd be some more rewards that you could give back to him? Or are you just satisfied? Preacher, I'm living for right now. Right now is all that matters to me. You know what? I may not live to be 65. I may not. I may not live to be 40. I'm going to be honest with you. When I was 18 years old, I'm surprised that I lived to see 30. I'm surprised that God let me live that long. But you know what? I really believe this. If I hadn't turned and got right, I believe my mom and daddy had buried me. You know what my daddy told me? He said, my greatest fear for you. Greatest fear. You know what really bothered me? And that was my daddy's phone going off in church. Talk about the devil getting into stuff. I mean, couldn't you imagine that? Getting ready to tell something and his phone goes off in church. It's Scotty texting you about the bees, daddy. It's all right. Am I right? No. Oh, okay. All right. But you know, my daddy told me a while back, he said, we were sitting out there in the woods, just me and him, and we was talking. We spent a long time just out talking and meditating and doing random stuff. And I'm going to be honest with you, not only did I prevent maintenance on my four-wheeler, but I enjoyed spending time with my daddy working on something. I know he's not always going to be here. And I take advantage of those times that we can do stuff together. And we was talking, and he said, you know, he said, I'm glad them prayers was answered. I said, why? He said, because I done decided me and Mama was going to have to pick you out of box the way you were living. Now, I know a lot of preachers say they were this bad or they were that bad. And some of them, they was little church mice growing up. I'm not saying I was the meanest and wickedest of them, but the group of people I was hanging around, Brother Robbie, well, I'll just tell you this, one of them done hit a tree four times head on, been broke all to pieces, had to learn to walk again this past year, laid in Baptist Hospital for over six weeks on life support. Another one was riding a motorcycle, got hit head on, and I went and seen him for several months sitting in Avante because he was messed up when he done it. It's a man wonders God ain't done took them boys out of here. And I seen one the other day, his mama's, I'm going to be honest with you, Sunday mornings is hard sometimes for me when the message I got, because the boy that I hung around the most, his mama started coming to church sitting back here hearing me preach now. And I was in McDonald's the other week, and Anna didn't have to say a word. There was a young man come in wearing a little hat on, dress shirt. You could look in his eyes and tell he was messed up. And she said, "Is that who it is?" I said, "It is." She said, "You going to speak to him?" And I almost want to say no. And I couldn't help it, Brother Johnny. I just went up to him. I said, "How are you?" He said, "I'm okay." I said, "I've been praying for you." I said, "I'm glad to see you walking again." He said, "Well, I appreciate it." That was the end of the conversation. He had nothing else to say. Every time his mama says, "I go to church and I heard Josh preach," he said, "He's the same one that drunk beer with me. He ain't no better than me. He's the same one that laid up over here drunk. He ain't no better than me." He said, "I could quit drinking too and go be a preacher if I wanted to." That mentality. Brother Robbie, you know what it started with? Just a little drip. Me and him started out hanging out. All it was saying a few ugly words here and there. All it was, one Friday night, we decided, I don't know why, we thought it'd be fun to go steal road signs. Do you know that's a felony? I mean, I'm going to be honest, Ty, don't go steal road signs. You know, I thought it was cute. I thought it was fun. We had a stack of 25 behind his house at one time. We racked up. You know what the whole thrill of it was? Having a ratchet and a wrench. We wouldn't take the post. We had to take it off the post. Was to take a ratchet and a wrench, and I think it was a 3/8 nut and a 1/2 inch head, I think. I think somebody else been down that road, ain't they? Do you know that's a felony? Then it started out, let's go fishing. Hang on. You know what? We fished on the cotton mill so many times, but then fishing wasn't enough. Let's just get a 6-pack. And that little drip was just dripping. But you know what it was doing? It was running the well dry. And then to wake up being hit with a 2x4 across the side of the head over just a little drip. I mean, he thought enough of me, Brother Robbie. He drug me in the back of a trailer, took my shirt off of me, cleaned my pockets out, stole my knife, stole my shirt. I'm not saying he done it. There was a group of them there. Stole the money I had in my wallet. I was working at H.G. Green's, making $6.25 an hour, trying to go to community college, paying for it. Mom and Daddy helped me a little bit, trying to pay to keep an old blazer on the road. And I had just got paid. And I was not going to tell Daddy I didn't have no money. He said, "What'd you do?" I put it on a charge account at Bobby Green's, everything I needed. You know what? That little drip got real big to a big problem. And this is where Naomi was at. And you know what I decided that Sunday? I said, if I could get back to church, if I get back and hear Daddy preach again, if I get back to where I go to that altar, if I could get... You know what had helped? If I'd done some preventive maintenance along the way. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Miss Jody comes tonight. I wasn't intending to share all that. But it's not time to get bitter on the Lord. She got bitter. She said in verse number 21 or 20, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitter with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me? The Almighty hath afflicted me. You know what? I really believe, as Naomi was sharing that, I believe she was weeping. I believe her heart was grieved. I can't really imagine what she was going through, knowing she buried her husband, she buried her two sons. She had nothing. Boy, tonight would be a good night just to sit around and say, Lord, search me, O Lord. See if there's anything in me. Let's all stand to our feet tonight.